I've been talking about a place out by where, here we go, by where we live, and it's about 10 miles from where we live. Thank you. And it's a place. They took the sign down off of Highway 30 because they had a sign right there saying Il Retiro, which means retirement or retire, whatever. And that's not the right... Somebody's changed the password, probably, behind my back. So anyway, I'm going to use that place as an illustration of... the thing that I've been talking about in the Watchman broadcast, about the one of the Vatican's secrets is what I mentioned in the broadcast Monday was called the Secret Shuffle, where, and I watched another documentary this morning about it, where this guy, a priest, 25 years old, he gets... ordained to be a Catholic priest, gets sent to Windsor, Ontario in the 50s and immediately starts going after children. I mean, it doesn't wait long at all. And these girls start telling their parents, and their parents believe them, but their parents say, you know, one parent said, well, we can't let this out. And it's like, and back in the 50s, like, we can't let the neighbors know. You know, this happened to our daughter. What would the neighbors think? And that's what she said. That's what my mom said. What would the neighbors think? And, you know, forget the neighbors. It's your child. But anyway, that was the power that those priests had over people. And so after people started complaining, the Catholic Church, the Archdiocese, didn't do anything about it except shuffle him over to another church, where within a couple weeks, he's right back to doing the same thing. And he does this for years, and then they shuffle him again someplace else, and then he does it there, and then they move him to another church because they figure if we move him 50 miles away, the people at the other church won't know where he is, and this new church, we're not going to tell them what he's been doing. And they'll just think he's another priest, you know, because whatever, the Catholic Church, you know, your local church doesn't vote in your priests like we vote in a pastor. That's all up to the archbishop. And so it's just that systemic problem. Well, I went over there today and I looked on Google Maps and it looked like it was fairly close to an elementary school. I just didn't realize how close it was. Just a hair over a mile from a Maplewood Elementary School. And I'm like, so I confirmed how many registered priests there are who are on the offender registry. And the number who are registered with the state of Missouri as offenders, there's five priests living out there. But that place, it's not Il Retiro. Il Retiro is an actual retreat center. They've got cabins. They've got like a lodge you can stay in with rooms and stuff like that. It's for Catholics. And probably Catholic priests or whatever spend vacation, but... But right next to it is the Vianney Renewal Center. And there's big signs on there that says, keep out, no trespassing. Cameras everywhere. And so I'm filming this place. I'm filming the signs, I'm filming the buildings, filming the statues. And then I found out that they were at the Vianney Renewal Center. And when I did some research on that place, the only thing it does is house predator priests. That's all it does. They have room for 40 of them. I don't know how many's out there. But the problem is they're practically on the same grounds as the Il Retiro Center, where you can go and rent a cabin or a room at the lodge, and they've got hiking trails, they got a small lake out there, and they're just a mile from this elementary school. But that's all that place does, is house these priests that various archdioceses around the country have shuffled them over there. They used to have a place in New Mexico, I think. But in New Mexico, they shut it down. And you know what they did with the priests? Sent them out to churches in New Mexico. How nice. So anyway, I did some filming over there. And I don't know if anybody was watching me or what, but I tried to be discreet about it. So that's how I spent my day today. Let's see here. Come on, Mr. Hoggard. Get it going. All right. Now, how do I find it? While I'm doing this, let's take some prayer requests. I mentioned David Cherney's mom passed away early this morning. I called David. He said he's in a good place. He spent time with her last night and prayed with her, prayed over her, and played some music for her last night. And apparently she died sometime early this morning. And so I told David to keep in touch with me on funeral arrangements and so on, and just pray for him. When you lose your mom, that's tough. And so just lift him up if you would, please. You mentioned who?
A couple people passed tonight. Charlie, Bishop Depp had that effect. Bishop Depp has a little bit of work. He's got a more of that. Head and stuff like that. Charlie's got bad shoulders, stuff like that.
Right.
Bad shoulders and knees and stuff like that. And recently went to the divorce and stuff like that.
Okay. So, anybody else got a quick prayer request? Yes, Alicia.
I'm sending you a prayer for Michael.
Pray for Michael. Go to the doctor tomorrow, right? We'll get a mule team and drag him over there.
And also, we're going to auto. She was with her sister on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
They are pretty sure she has a heart condition.
Oh, no.
She's not feeling well.
Yeah, when your heart feels bad, you don't feel good. Yes. Okay, yeah. All right, hold on to yours. We'll get that at the end of the service. Take a Bible, turn to John chapter 14. And let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick. And pray for some of these that we've mentioned. And then we'll have our prayer time at the end of the service. Good to have everybody with us online. And this series that I'm making, if you know somebody that is a Roman Catholic, if you have Roman Catholic friends, family, co-workers, whatever, send them a link to it. If you would like it on DVD, give us until next month, and we'll have this series on DVD available in January. But if you would like it on DVD, we will do that. Some people would rather have a DVD than look something up on the internet. And the DVD is a lot easier to give to somebody than a complicated website. It's www.youtube.com/?=4829+M. And that's, you can't do that. So give them a DVD. Or put DVDs at gas stations, on gas pumps. Go to laundromats. Put them on the folding tables.
I found them in bathrooms and gas stations, my videos. And so just plant them everywhere that you can think of. And let's see if we can't save some people from bondage. Amen? Because that religion is so much bondage. Any religion that defiles your family and you're afraid to do anything about it, even legally, you're afraid to do anything about it. That's not God's religion. God did not invent that. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for gathering us together tonight. Lord, Father, we understand, Lord, when people get sick like this, and especially with the sickness that's out there, it affects people differently, and we've already seen that. And Lord, it's been through my family and other families as well. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just put a halt to it. Or, Lord, help us get through it if any of us catch anything. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory for that. We thank you, Lord, for those that could be here with us tonight, those that are joining in online. We ask you, Father, Lord, that you would guide us as we look into your holy word tonight. Father, we thank you, God, for the liberty that we have in Christ and for the freedom, Lord, that you have given us under your new law and your new covenant. We thank you, Jesus, that because of our inability to keep your commandments, your statutes, your laws, because of our sins, Christ came to this earth, died on a cross, rose again the third day, is in heaven now interceding on our behalf. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who comforts us in all of our troubles. And Father, bless us tonight as we learn about God and learn about Jesus and learn about the Holy Spirit. Bless your word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I want to hear you at home saying amen. And that's close enough. John chapter 14, verse 4. Jesus said, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, and this is important. We've already dealt with the mediator part, but I wanted to read this part to move in to the next sequence. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So then, that's not what I want. There we go. And we talked about the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and that the saints of heaven are not in heaven right now praying on your behalf. You do not call upon the saints in heaven. You do not have any other gods before God. Amen? You do not tell your sins to a Catholic priest or any man on this earth. He cannot and does not have the power to forgive all your sins. He especially does not have the power to withhold confession from you. And I mentioned yesterday, this, Roy, do you remember the St. Stanislaus Kostka Catholic Church up in St. Louis? It's a Polish Catholic church, and the archdiocese wanted to take over their bank accounts, their property, their building, probably close to $15 to $20 million in real estate and cash. And the archdiocese demanded that they turn it over, and they said, no, you guys haven't given us a dime since 1860 when we started building this thing. We built it ourselves. It's our building. We have our own bylaws, our own trustees. We're under your archdiocese. We're under your spiritual authority, but this is our building. And the archdiocese doubled down. They sued them. They lost. In the Missouri Supreme Court said, this is separated from church and state. This is what you wanted. So we don't have the power to tell the church what it can do. So they lost. So they tried the canonical way, which is the Roman Catholic law way, and they won that. They pulled their priest, and in the eyes of the Roman Catholic Church, if the priest cannot give you the Eucharist, which he believes is Jesus Christ really, that's really Jesus, that's delusional. That's like being on LSD and saying, I'm eating aliens, man. I mean, it is. It's made up. But anyway, in their eyes, if you cannot receive communion from an ordained Catholic priest in the Roman Catholic Church, you are going to hell. So this archdiocese told them, Raymond Burke told them, if you don't give us some money, I'm going to excommunicate everybody in that church. Well, he ended up excommunicating the board of trustees who were resisting him. And those board of trustees to this day, I believe, are still excommunicated with the exception of one. Yes, sir. Yeah, they called one down from Chicago, a Polish priest. And that was their big deal. That was one of their big deals. They said, we were having the mass said in Polish because we're Polish. We had a Polish priest, and that's what we wanted. And now the archbishop pulled him out on purpose and put in a French guy, French-Canadian guy or something like that. And they were no longer doing the mass in Polish or anything like that. And these people were like, they were digging in. But it was the idea that bishop was withholding salvation and eternally damning their souls for $20 million. It was a mafia shakedown. Okay? And it's all because of these scandals and these lawsuits that are being filed everywhere. Anyway, so we already know that you don't confess your sins to the priest. He's not the mediator. Christ is the only mediator. And if you need help in confessing your sins to God, I'm going to show you tonight, you've already got a helper. Okay? His name is the Comforter. Turn to, look at verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now, again, I've taught this before. No man has seen God at any time. Jesus said that. Moses was allowed to see the back of God, and that in itself caused problems, because when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the Israelites made him put a veil over his face because his face was shining so bright that they couldn't stand it. They already didn't want him to talk to them. Now they don't want to see Moses' face, and so God basically puts a veil over the Old Testament, and when they read it, they don't understand it. And it's their language. They understand the language better than we do, but they do not understand who it means. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know who that Messiah is yet. They haven't figured it out. But anyway, some people don't understand that you cannot see God. And I've heard some of these charismatic idiots on TBN boast how they were standing in the presence of God and they saw the Holy Trinity and they saw God the Father and the Son. And I'm going, no, you didn't. And I know this because you're still alive. If not even Moses, who the Bible says was faithful in all his house, could see God's face, I guarantee you Creflo Dollar didn't do it either. If I was a preacher, I would not call myself Dollar or Cash or Price or Crank. Huh? Yeah. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? You want to see the Father? Look at me. If you want to see me, look at Matthew. Look at me. Look at Alicia. Okay? Look at Michaela. She looks like me. Look at Chicken Burger Lawson. He looks like me. Okay? Huh? No. That's what Jesus was saying. I am my Father's Son. Have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? In the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now think about that statement. Jesus is God, and yet it's his Father working through him to do the works. Who resurrected Jesus? The Father did. Okay? So then he said, listen to this now. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And this is why when something good happens and you get a blessing in your life, or you end up being blessed one day, or you end up being a blessing to others, or anything like that, don't take the credit for it. Don't take the pat on the back. Don't accept payment for it. I'm not saying you shouldn't earn a living, you shouldn't work and get money. I'm not saying that. Even pastors got to eat. But what I'm saying is, it's better to give the praise to the Father now rather than you taking all the glory and all the credit. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. I keep doing this and I'm doing it wrong. Look at John chapter 1 verse 17. We've already covered this, but just to back up and look at this idea of seeing God, the Father, John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now remember that verse, because if we get to it tonight, we're going to see something similar to it again. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Notice that there is a difference in what they gave out to their people and what they represented. Moses represented the law. Moses does not represent grace. He can only represent, don't do this or I'll kill you. That's all he can do. He's the law. The police, the military, they're not trained to be nice people. They're trained to be warriors. They're trained to be combatants. They're trained to be fighters. They're trained to be aggressive. They're trained to be hard, unpassable, unshakable, unwavering. And I know the police every now and then, they pull you over and they see you're not having a good day or whatever, and it's not a big deal. They may not write you a ticket. They don't have to. But if you're just out breaking the law, you can't say, hey, guys, come on, just give me a break. You know, it's just one liquor store I robbed. That's not a big deal. That's not what they're here for. They're not here to give grace out. They're here to enforce the law. Something that AOC knows nothing about. Who says it's not illegal, it's not against the law for people, this is what she said, it's not against the law for people to enter the country illegally. And the man who was running immigration said, ma'am, the law says that they're not allowed to come in this country. The law requires me then to arrest them and send them back to their country. And she was arguing, you can't have bartenders running Congress. Amen. Verse 18, no man, here it is, no man has seen God at any time. No man. No pope has. And this is another thing that irritates me. You do not call these men Father. You do not call the Pope Holy Father. That is reserved for God alone. It's blasphemy to call a man Holy Father. And that's what the Pope is called to his face. You do not go up to him and say, hey, Jorge Bergoglio, how's it going, you old timer? You don't call him that. You have to call him Santa Padre, or Santa Papa, or whatever. The Holy Father. You cannot call him anything else but that. And that is blasphemy. You've got two masters. You can't serve them both. Verse 19. Verse 18 again. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Turn to Ezekiel 33. I've kind of got ahead of myself a little bit mentioning these, but let's look at the verses real quick so we get some learning. Ezekiel 33, verse 18, Moses, the first Jesus, is up on Mount Sinai the second time. And in verse 18, he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And I remember early on, around 1999, 2000, 2001, God is just, he's just pouring knowledge into me from the Word of God. He's making all these connections for me, and I'm seeing things I never saw before. And in my zeal one time, I asked God, "God, show it to me all." And now that I look back on that, I'm going, well, I'm kind of glad you didn't, because I probably would have died. If anybody says that they've got the Bible all figured out, they don't. I don't have it all figured out. You don't have it all figured out. Nobody does. It is way beyond, at its various levels, beyond our comprehension in many ways. Some things are easy to understand. I understand that Jesus died for me in my place. Amen? But even Peter said, read Paul, but some things I don't understand. So he said, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will shew mercy on whom I will shew mercy. You remember that too when it comes to your enemies. The hardest thing to do is to pray for your enemies, because we don't want to pray for our enemies. We want them dead, or we want some evil thing to befall them, because we're bitter, because we're hurt, because we don't like their deeds, we think they're getting away with things, and so on. The hardest thing to do is pray for people, but the best thing to do is to pray for them, because God just might have mercy on them and forgive them the way He forgave you. And then when God forgives them and you see a change in their life, you know what could happen? You might end up getting a little jealous, because they might end up getting more grace than you. But that's what God is saying. I'll be gracious to whom I want to be gracious to. Whom I forgive, that's who I forgive. You don't tell me who to forgive. And that's another thing wrong with the priesthood. The priesthood of the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church and the Lutheran Church, the Mormon Church, Jehovah's Witness, any of these other groups that say they can forgive people's sins, they take onto themselves something that belongs to God alone, and they may be forgiving or thinking they're forgiving man's sins when God says, I wasn't going to forgive their sins, and I'm still not. And you can't make me forgive their sins just because you said in nomine patri et filii et spiritu sancto. You can't make me do that. So that's another issue wrong with the priesthood. Verse 20, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. If you remember Samson's mom and dad, his dad's name was Manoah, and Samson's mother, we don't have a name for her, but the angel of the Lord appeared unto her and told her that she was going to have a child. It sounds like Gabriel going to Mary. You're going to conceive a child, and he's going to be a holy one before the Lord, and he shall touch no dead thing. He'll eat no grapes, no wine. In other words, he'll be a Nazarite from birth, no razor to touch his head. And then he left, and then Manoah comes home, and what happened? And she said, well, the angel of the Lord came down here. And so the angel of the Lord showed back up again and told Manoah what was going on. And he says, let me know your name. The angel of the Lord said, why do you ask for my name? And he disappeared. And Manoah's like, we're dead. We're dead. We just saw God, and we're going to die. So who was he seeing? If he said he saw God, who was he seeing? Jesus Christ. Pre-incarnate, before he came as a baby in Bethlehem, Manoah and his wife saw the angel of the Lord, not a angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ. That's how he often appeared in the Old Testament days. He showed up that way. That's That's who was in the burning bush that called to Moses. That's who was standing there as the angel of the Lord in front of Joshua before he goes into battle at Jericho. And he has to take his shoes off for he's on holy ground. And that's just how it is. But these guys were like, we're going to die because we saw God. So verse 21, the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And what a glory just that was. And Paul used that. And he's, you know, after that, Moses comes down, his face is shining as the sun. And Paul used that, and he said, if the ministration of death was glorious, so much that the Israelites said, put a veil over your face, Moses. We can't look at you. You're shining brighter than the sun. He said, if the ministration of death was glorious, how much more glorious the ministration of life in the New Testament? So why would we want to go back and say, I have to keep all the Old Testament laws before I can go to heaven? Why would we want to do that when we have a much more glorious way, in my opinion, a much easier way to go to heaven? And that is trust the Lord. Amen? Trust the Lord. Well, I keep doing that. 2 Corinthians 3, turn there. So I'll make it hard on you. I've been so easy on you, putting everything on the screen. Now you got to look it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This would do you some good, though. This would be like doing a Bible sword drill. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7. But if this is what I was referring to a while ago. I keep getting ahead of myself. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, he's talking about the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, Mount Sinai, how much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory? It's like when you go to the eye doctor and he does that thing. Now, which is better, this or this? And you're going, do that again, this or this? I can't tell, do this or this? Which is better? Okay. Which is better, this or this? This is better. This makes it easy then. I can't see now. I can see now. And that's the difference between the Old Testament, you're half blind. New Testament, you can see it all. You've got a clear view. And Paul said that. We speak plainly. Verse 22. Or verse 12, I'm sorry. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech and not as Moses. Isn't it interesting that when God called Moses, he called him specifically because he was a stutterer. Which, by the way, that tells you something. God can use anybody with any affliction, any malady. My son is, he stutters a little bit. What is it? Yeah, Tourette's. It's not bad, but he can't help it. And he's had to learn to live with it. And that God uses him and can use him, in some cases, probably greater than me because of it. It's not through our strengths that God does his work. It's always through our weaknesses. So that the people are more amazed then that weak people. And the world hates us because we're not powerful. We're not the same class as they are. And, you know, Roy, you said it. The strength of America is the middle class. If you want to understand how the rest of the world is, go to some other country, because you're going to see classism. You're going to see people divided up. Like, go to Mexico. I figured this out my first day in Mexico, because you have people in Mexico that you can tell they are native Aztecs, and very dark skin. They are the poor people. They're the ones who live in the poor areas of town. They're the ones who cannot go to the best schools. They're the ones who are out begging. You can clearly see a difference in the European Spanish people in Mexico. They're lighter skinned. They have the high-paying jobs, the government jobs, the bank jobs, things like that. They have all those good jobs, and you very seldom see any of them out begging in the streets. And I'm looking at this, and I'm just going, this still exists. In the Middle East, there's still human slavery. And it's not, and now it's run on the internet. There's apps that these guys use to buy and sell people. And these people who do it because they live in a country where they don't have anything. They don't have another option. And that still goes on in this world. Now, back to this. Verse 12 again, seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. I read that wrong. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. See, when you get saved, he removes the veil. Just like on the day that Christ died on the cross, what happened to the veil in the temple? It was done away, wasn't it? And what did everybody see back there? A closet with nothing in it. The most holy place was the emptiest room in that whole temple. It had no Ark of the Covenant. Nothing. The presence of God was not there. It had no table of showbread, no menorah, no candlestick. Those were all gone. If you read the list of things that Nebuchadnezzar took in Jeremiah 51, everything is mentioned, all the way down to the spoons and the snuffers, the candle snuffers. All things were listed that they took out of the temple. And what's missing is those three objects. Okay? Maybe the altar of incense too, I don't remember, but where'd they go? And back then, years ago, I was studying, and this guy was making a claim that he broke into a chamber under Calvary and found the Ark of the Covenant with Christ's blood on it. And I was going, oh, wow, that's so cool. I don't believe it. I used to believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think God took all that away to show us that he's not going to sprinkle animal blood on an earthly Ark of the Covenant ever again. I'm not. God's the Ark of the Covenant that Christ sprinkled his blood on is in heaven. The Bible makes that very clear. But anyway, the veil is taken away. It's done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Liberty to tell a preacher, no, I'm not telling you all my sins. And no, you can't find out what tithes I paid last year. It's none of your business. Amen. The Lord is that Spirit. When it shall turn to the Lord, that veil shall be taken away. Now, turn to Revelation 6. Oh, looky here. God's giving them a little glimpse, and they don't like it. Oh, God, show us your face. Show us what you look like. God, give us all your glory. Revelation 6:16, and said, they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. In other words, no, we don't want to see God's face. Hide us from his face. That's God's wrath. Revelation 10:1, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Can you stare at the sun? No. You can't look up on that. The glory is too much for us. Oh, I like this one. Look at Revelation 22:4. Turn there. Finally, the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem, the holy city coming down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, in verse 4, and they shall see his very last chapter of the Bible. Isn't that something? That's when we finally, it's like the last thing we get. Is to finally have those gates of pearl opened. It's like standing there with Bob Barker, and he says, I wonder what this next item up for bid is. And Johnny Olsen says, it's a new car! And everybody goes crazy, right? That's what you want on The Price is Right, is the new car. Now open that gate of pearl, and you're standing there looking at the face of him that no man has ever seen. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. That's going to be for eternity. And sometimes I just shake my head at all of this going, I can't even fathom. It's almost like I can't believe it. I do. But I just go, why would God do? Didn't God have something better to do than to create a world full of unrighteous, wicked, hateful people? Be grieved at their sins, bear with them, and only to have his son's face spit upon, only to have the back of his son scourged, only to have the forehead of his son bleeding with the crown of thorns, only to watch his son die and then close heaven because he could not bear the stain of sin that was on his only begotten son. Didn't God have something better to do? But one of these days we're going to get to see his face. Amen. One of these days. Amen. Well, apparently that didn't even download the right sermon, because I'm out of notes, and I know I'm not out of notes, because we were go back to John 14, and I'll tell you where we're going next Wednesday. Let's see, we left off here, verse 11. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And now I think I probably, and I don't think I have this in my notes as much, but I think I probably need to deal with it. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, the charismatics have taken this and wrested it, twisted it way, way out of its barriers. And they have taken this to mean that if you speak it, it happens. Kenneth Copeland, I'm starting to get videos of him showing up in my feed. I guess YouTube thinks I need to study him next or something, but Kenneth Copeland stood with a bunch of preachers on stage back in 2020, Roy, And I'm sure you weren't aware of this, or you would have been fine, but he got rid of COVID in 2020. Kenneth Copeland did. Because he pronounced it and spoke it to go away in Jesus' name. And so it went away in 2020. So I don't know what all these tests were about, but they can't be COVID because Kenneth Copeland got rid of it two and a half years ago. And maybe he's fake. Maybe he really doesn't have the power to do that, like he says. That's what it is. He did. He just makes a fool of himself. He makes to those who don't believe in God, they think all of us are like him and we're not. Now, they still probably don't like us because we believe in God, and they don't like anybody who believes in God. They think we're stupid. But the atheists are like 0.0002% of the earth's population. Everybody else in the world believes in some kind of supernatural thing. And but anyway, Copeland basically just makes a fool of himself, teaching people that you can have his powers and you can just confess everything to be gone in Jesus' name. You can speak it with your mouth and you have the same ability as God with your mouth. You can create things, you can destroy things. Joyce Myers believes that. Creflo Dollar believes that. All these charismatics believe that. Every one of them. It's called the Word Faith Movement. And it's a very, very dangerous doctrine because what it does, it sets people up for a downfall. They're taught over and over and over that they can just profess sickness to go away, so they don't go see a doctor. They don't get any treatment of any disease whatsoever because that's faith-killing, and then God won't do anything for you, which is unbiblical. The woman who had the issue of blood spent all her money on doctors, but Jesus did not refuse to heal her because she went to doctors first. He didn't say anything about it. He didn't smack her around a little bit. He didn't get mad at her. In fact, technically, he didn't heal her. She just touched the hem of his garment, and he felt virtue go out of him, whatever that means, and she was healed. But it was her faith that healed her, and God's power that healed her. But anyway, these people are telling you that you can rid yourself of disease, you can rid yourself of poverty, you can rid yourself of any problem in the world, you just believe it and speak it, and then when it doesn't work, here's what you're told. Obviously, there's something you're holding back from God, and that's keeping him. He cannot work in your life because you do not have enough faith. You're holding back something from God. And all of a sudden, and some of these people will ride that wave for a while. But you can only do it so long. And then you either just start believing the lies and going along with it and thinking, well, I'm not good enough like he is. He's got that way because he's more faithful than I am. And you just accept that. Or you say, this has been a joke. I've spent 20 years of my life. I've given $1 million to this church. And what have I got to show for it? And you just run out and say, I'm not going to do this ever again. And it sets people up for a fall because it's a big pack of lies. Now, does the Bible mean what it says? Yes. But let's look at the whole of Scriptures to get the understanding of it. Okay? You can't ask God while you have a wife for a different wife. Okay? And some people think they can. Maybe you don't need to be rich. Maybe you don't need to be in charge of $500 million. Maybe that's not good for you. So anyway, we'll take a look at that next week. All right. Any other prayer requests that we need to mention? Yes, very quickly. Sure thing.
Now, I tell you what.
I mentioned going out to this place today. And I, you know, I'd heard rumors for a while, and then, you know, I knew one of the local news stations did a story about it, and there's been several articles written about it. I didn't know that basically that's the only place in the country, this Vianney Renewal Center out in Denton, Missouri, is the only place in the country where the church puts these priests. And they've got room for 40, but how many of them are there in this country? It's got to be tens of thousands. And these are you have to look at it in one way. These are men that Christ died for. And you have to kind of think, at one point in their life, they said, probably at a young age, I want to serve God. And they got pulled into a system that immediately put them in chains of bondage. And do some of them want forgiveness? No. The Archbishop of Australia, George Pell, does not want forgiveness. Because I think the Vatican strong-armed or paid off the Supreme Court of Australia to let him out of prison. He had already been sentenced to prison, was in prison. The appeals court upheld the lower court on his guiltiness and his sentence, and they said, he's guilty, he's staying in prison. But then it went to the Australian Supreme Court, 9-0. They basically said he didn't do it. And I'm just going, no, that's ridiculous. And does he want forgiveness? No. He lives this life where he makes a few phone calls and probably gives a few threats and says, get me out of here, or I'm going to start naming names. And he's lucky he's not dead. But does he want forgiveness? Probably not. Are there those that do? Yeah, I believe there are. They'll never get it from Mary. Mary does not have the ability to forgive these priests of their sins. They will never get it from the Pope. They will never get it from another priest. They will never get it at their saint. They'll never get it from Saint Anthony, because that's the patron saint that they have out there that is helping all these men, supposedly. They will only get it through the blood of Jesus Christ, the real blood, and not the cup that they drink every Mass. So you could pray for these men that God would save them. I think it would be awesome if through one of these videos, God saved a priest. I think it would be awesome. Save some that are in Turkana, Kenya. Save them. We get them off our back. But anyway, just pray for that. And like I said, I'm asking you to help share those videos. Send links out to people. Post it on Facebook. Put it on your page, whatever. And help us spread that word, all right? And getting the notes together for the next part. So, and I ordered new lights.